Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin with you on this Wednesday. And every Wednesday at this time, we say hello to John McClain, Sports Radio 610 down in Houston. John, good morning. How are you?
If I were any better, it'd be illegal.
Oh, I love that. That's always a good feeling for sure. The Titans actually get a win against the lowly Carolina Panthers at Nissan Stadium on Sunday. All is right with the world once again, except, nope, we get articles out of Boston talking about this Mike Vrabel stuff, and also that apparently Rand Carthon had job issues in San Francisco and just everything that has come out of this. What was your take on the piece out of Boston and everything that's come out since?
First of all, I know several people in the 49ers organization really well. Most of them there were with Texans for years. Kyle Shanahan rehired him. And I've talked to D'Amico Ryans about Carthon. And they all think he's really good at what he does. He was going to get a GM's job. It wasn't a matter of if, but when. And he's been on the job now, several months? It'd be very unfair to judge him. Mike Vrabel isn't going anywhere. They can wish and they can hope all they want, but it's not going to make it happen. And this time of year is when a lot of these things start to come out anonymously. But I believe, based on the people that I talked to about Carthon, that they're in good shape. And based on what I know about Mike Vrabel, they're in good shape. It's hard for me to believe the Texans actually lost to the Panthers on a field goal with no time left, in which C.J. Stroud threw for 140 yards and afterwards said, I want to have explosive plays, and they lead the league in explosive plays ever since. But Carolina is terrible, and I'm sure right now Titans fans are glad they have Will Levis, who's in much better hands. Tim Kelly was here when Deshaun Watson was a rookie. He was on the offensive side of the ball. He called plays for Watson at the end. He called plays for Davis Mills when he was a rookie. And Mills had some good games, including a great one against the Titans in the last game of the season here, in which the Titans had to win to get home field advantage. And Mills lit them up for over 300 yards, and they won by 3 points. So Tim's got another rookie, another talented rookie, second most talented he's had. But I think those quarterbacks, based on what I saw Kelly do here, and Watson was prolific in 2020. He played great. And then Davis Mills played better than we thought he could, that Will Levis is in good hands with Tim Kelly.
John McClain is with us. So, you know, and I tend to agree with you that I don't think Vrabel is going anywhere and all of that. But why do you think this stuff keeps coming up, though?
Same thing. I went through this, oh, my goodness, going back to when Bill O'Brien was fired 4 games into the 2020 season. Romeo Crennel was elevated. There are so many things out there that are wrong. And people don't make them up. They trust people they believe. If somebody says, hey, I'm hearing this or I believe this, most of this is done by agents. And agents always have an agenda. Like Texas A&M, as soon as they fired Jimbo Fisher, I tweeted and said on my 18 weekly talk shows that we're going to see a lot of agents from big-time coaches using the Aggies to get raises and extensions and Phil Ryan Day's name's leaked because he's getting ripped for losing to Michigan. So you say, oh, he may go to A&M. Media runs it. All of a sudden, all those Ohio State fans, whoa, 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 Ryan, don't. We didn't mean it. We don't want you to be fired. Please don't leave. Dabo Swinney was listed as a candidate. And, of course, Mark Stoops, no telling what he's ended up with as far as a raise before they hired Mike Elko to come back, who'd been their defensive coordinator for 3 years. And so many times I see things and I know it's got the agent's fingerprints all over it. And if you're like I used to, when I was not a columnist and I wrote, covered the beat, I'd have a lot of agents want to use me. And if it was a good story and it had a smidgen of truth in it, I'd run it because I need those agents later on other things. I didn't make stuff up, but I would run it if it had a chance. And so people hear things, they get a lot of clicks, gets a lot of attention, but and maybe it's right. Maybe Mike Vrabel will be up at New England. I don't know why in the world Mike would want to go to New England and replace the greatest coach in history. I think he's happy right there with the way things are. When an owner loves you, there's a lot to be said about that, as teams like the Carolina Panthers are finding out quick, as the Raiders found out quick. If that owner is in your corner, that means everything for head coach.
Amen. Talking to the legend, John McClain, right now on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. John, we talk a lot about coaches in the NFL, but hardly ever is Doug Peterson's name brought up. And I think the job he's done at Jacksonville is fantastic. You had a front row seat to see that game versus Houston on Sunday. Why do you think that Peterson is not talked about? I mean, he won a Super Bowl with the Eagles, and the job he's done now with Trevor Lawrence is something just short of being remarkable.
Well, I think that they had the number one pick 2 years in a row, and they took Trevor Lawrence, a generational quarterback who's not playing like a generational quarterback, and Trayvon Walker, who's not playing like a number one overall pick, but he's still good. He collapses the pocket, and Josh Allen gets all the sacks. But Doug stepped into a really good situation with a lot of good young talent. They signed a lot of free agents at skill positions and receiver and tight end last year. So he got there at the right time. And I'm not saying any coach could have done that, but he did it. When they had that comeback victory over the Chargers in the playoffs, I don't know if that was more of a case of the Chargers choking with Brandon Staley or a case of Doug Peterson being a mastermind who brought him from behind, probably a little bit of both. And as bad as the Texans played Sunday, they still could have forced overtime for another 3 inches on a 58-yard field goal. Could have won, could have tied it and forced overtime. But they're going to run away with the division. They're going to get a home game now. And Indianapolis and Houston will be fighting for a wild card berth.
You know, John, you've covered the league for a long time. At this point in the season, you like to see teams that are having fun. Of course, winning helps everything. But the Ravens, I watched that game Sunday night. They, you know, Chargers took them to the wire. I get all that. But that team seems to be having a lot of fun right now. And did you pick them to go all the way?
I picked them to win the Super Bowl on my talk shows and podcasts and columns and tweets. And the only reason I did it is because nobody else was. I picked them last time they won a Super Bowl. I picked them to win. When Philadelphia won in 17, I picked them to go and lose. And the only reason I did is nobody else was doing it. If you don't, you know, all my other picks, you know, were wrong and nobody talks about them. But boy, if you're right, you know, people let you know. In Philadelphia, when I picked them to go to the Super Bowl, I had two or three talk shows call me like, "What are you smoking?" And I wish they'd have called me back, even though I didn't get it right. But I put a lot of faith in a head coach, John Harbaugh. Of course, the key for them, Lamar Jackson had stayed healthy the last 2 years. And just because he gets to the playoffs doesn't mean he's going to win. He's won one playoff game. You know, his next measure of greatness is to stay healthy and win more than one playoff game. And I hope he does. I'm tired of seeing Kansas City. I'd like to see Baltimore so I could crow a little bit.
He is John McClain, Sports Radio 610 in Houston. We'll have more with John coming up next here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Hey, we'll be live from the NASCAR Awards tomorrow at the Music City Center. It's all brought to you by Green Trees Company Dispensary, providing high-quality legal THC products. Learn more at greentreescompany.com. Chase and Big Joe, broadcasting live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios, presented by Regal Realty Group. Continuing our conversation with John McClain, Sports Radio 610 in Houston. And John, as I watched the season unfold, we saw a great ending to a football game between the Eagles and the Bills, and the Eagles come out on top. They have proven to me right now they are the best team in the NFL. But should we be talking about the Bills and potentially maybe they move on from Sean McDermott if things don't turn around, or is it just one of those down seasons?
I think it's a disappointing season. It's a down season. They played well. They should have won that game. They had a chance to win it. Jake Elliott kicking a 58-yard field goal in that weather, that reminded me of Adam Vinatieri, clutch kicking in bad weather. And Jalen Hurts came back, scored a touchdown after the Bills kicked the field goal. I don't think Sean McDermott's going to get fired. The key is, will Joe Brady do well enough to keep the offensive coordinator job over the fired Ken Dorsey? Josh Allen has played better. They've scored more than 30 points in both games. They can still earn that wild card berth. When I look at Indianapolis, which would be the last wild card, and then Denver and Houston, first two teams would be in, and I see Buffalo behind them, I still have more faith in the Bills, although they play a tougher schedule. But I just can't believe Buffalo would actually miss the playoffs, but I do not think McDermott will be fired.
John, a lot of people weighing in wanted your opinion on the NFL release. Came out of the 25 semifinalists. Then we dropped to 15 for the NFL Hall of Fame class of 24. Eddie George is one of those. And a lot of discussion about should he or should he not be in the Hall of Fame. I know you have a vote, and you've done this for a long time. Your thoughts on, I mean, you don't have to, you know, say he's in or not, but with this class, I mean, a lot of talented guys in there. I just don't see, John, my opinion, a lot of Hall of Fame guys on this list. I could be wrong.
I'll be presenting Andre Johnson for the third year in a row. In the last 2 years, he and Reggie Wayne and Torrey Holt have canceled each other out, and I'll keep making my presentation, tweaking it, trying to come up with different information. I'm glad Eddie made the semifinals, because Eddie had over 10,000 yards. And people look, well, his average per carry was bad, but those people don't have a clue the kind of fronts he went up against, eight-man fronts on a consistent basis, just daring Steve McNair to throw the ball. And I'm glad. I'd like to see Eddie become a finalist, because when you're among the 15 finalists, that's when you get discussed in our meetings. And Paul Kaharsky would talk about Eddie for 5 minutes, and then others could talk about him. Then they would come back to Paul. And I'd love just to see Eddie get discussed so we could explain why his average per carry is not like Barry Sanders, because he played on an entirely different type of offense with a defensive head coach, with teams doing their strategy designed to stop him. And so I'm happy Eddie's getting a little attention.
How much, when you all are discussing these things, do you factor, like, because we've had this conversation about Derek Mason and his special teams, and does special teams get factored in, you know, when you're talking about him? But how much do you factor in that they had a quarterback that, you know, in some senses would take some carries away from Eddie with what Steve McNair was able to do with his legs? Like, how much do you look at just the team as a whole and what factors into either helping or hurting a player in his Hall of Fame bid?
If Eddie George were to get into the final 15, we could discuss all that. You know, we don't meet. We email, we DM, we text, we talk about people who are worthy. And there's so many that are worthy of not been in, including like 50 all-decade players who've never even been a finalist. And because it's hard. And when guys don't get in, it's not because they're not worthy. It's because of the competition. And I think people that should understand that. I know Kaharsky would make a great presentation, because Paul does a good job. The key is for Eddie to get that point and have everybody amplify about what it was about that offense that Eddie did have 10,000 yards, which is pretty amazing considering the type of system he was in, and a great point about McNair running the ball a lot as well. So I hope he gets the next step.
John, is it true that the guy who presented Jerry Rice got up in front of all of y'all and said two words? He said, "Jerry Rice," and sat down?
No, that started with Dan Marino, then John Elway, Brett Favre, Peyton Manning, and Jerry Rice. They stood up and made about a 30-second presentation and sat down, because in that case, we don't want them wasting our time. It's an eight-and-a-half-hour meeting. We have a lot of debate, and when it's a guy like a no-brainer, and is no debate, and so just say his name, sit, so we can move on.
I love it. Let me ask you this, John, and I love your opinion, and I love when you come on with us. Tell me why Too Tall Jones is not in the Hall of Fame.
T Too Tall has been a finalist before, and I couldn't tell you. I mean, people don't say, I don't think he deserves it. I think I see he had quite a bit here because he's a gridiron legend of Texas, and he comes down from Dallas for events here. Great guy. And I've told him before, just keep being patient. That's what I tell all the old guys because I'm on the seniors committee, and we get to pick three a year now. And he's certainly deserving. I don't know if it's because people think, well, there's so many Cowboys from those teams, which shouldn't have anything to do with it. You either deserve it or you don't. And I think Too Tall, I don't know why he's not in other than the competition.
Derrick Henry's now over 9,000 yards. And, you know, if you're kind of doing a comparison to Eddie, he's less than 1,000 away from surpassing him there. Mm-hmm. He's well past him when it comes to touchdowns, which I think, you know, people hold against Eddie that he only had 68 touchdowns in his career. But when you're looking at Derrick Henry and his body of work, what else does he need to do to pretty much lock himself into Canton?
I think he needs to keep playing. He needs to get over 10,000 yards, somewhere around 12 would be great. You know, his 200-yard games, his 2,000-yard season, all that will be in his favor. You know, there's not a lot of people think there's not many running backs going to go into the Hall of Fame in the future because of the way they're used. But the way Derrick Henry's been used is exactly what running backs have done for decades. At one point, a running back was just or more important than a quarterback because he was going to get the ball 25 or 30 times on a consistent basis. He's going to score a lot of touchdowns. And I think Derrick will get in. I think he's going to be one of the last ones to get in because I don't think he's going to be retiring anytime soon. And early in the season when he didn't get the ball much, I think that's working in his favor because now he gets the ball much. And if they can improve their offensive line, assuming he's back with the Titans, and improve the offensive line next year, then he could be more effective. I know those two touchdowns Sunday, that was vintage Derrick Henry, and people are happy to see it.
Would you bring him back if you're the Titans?
If the money was good, they see him every day in practice. They know the kind of beating he's taken, but they know how healthy he is. It's hard to judge a running back when you don't have a consistently good run-blocking offensive line. But they see how he cuts. They have speeds of how quick he gets to the line of scrimmage. They have every morsel of information at their fingertips when the time comes. But I'm guessing his agent is going to want to go where he gets the money. But when you're 30 and you're running back and you got a lot of mileage, you're not going to get many offers for good money.
John, when the Chargers are eventually going to move on from Staley, how impressive or good is that job with the right coach? Because, John, there is a lot of talent on that football team.
Joe, it's the best job in the NFL. The hot coordinator is Ben Johnson, offensive coordinator from the Lions. Texans interviewed him last year. He said, I need another year of seasoning. And he went back, and their offensive line is one of the most prolific in the NFL. Now, he's from North Carolina. They're already talking about Dave Tepper paying him any amount of money to get him to come home. But I don't remember him having stupid written across his forehead. If he's got a chance to go to the Chargers with Justin Herbert and the talent that they have on both sides of the ball, I think he's, and I don't care if he's only being offered $5 million instead of $7 or $8 million, he's going to lose it in taxes in California anyway. But that is such a great, could be a great job. And Brandon Staley's a good example of what a coordinator takes a job too soon. He was a coordinator 1 year, but he had been with Vic Fangio. Then he'd been, I can't remember where he was, Denver. And then he went with Fangio. Then he got the head coaching job, and he wasn't ready. And his defense, his specialty, is what's holding them back. And they do have some talent on that defense. So I think assistant coaches, coordinators are going to line up because when you see what D'Amico Ryans is doing, what Shane Steichen is doing in Indianapolis, they're both 6-5. You know you want that eye coordinator. I don't know if Kellen Moore will be considered or not, but if I'm the Chargers, I'm getting rid of Staley and I'm making Ben Johnson my first call.
Well done. 6 weeks ago, the Denver Broncos had 70 dropped on them by Miami, but, John, they've won five straight. Talk a little bit about the job Sean Payton's done in Denver, because it's pretty remarkable.
In their winning streak of five in a row, they've given up eight touchdowns. That's two fewer than they gave up to Miami. They were early in the season when they were 1-5. They were giving up 36.2 points. In their winning streak, they're giving up 16.5. So they're coming here. The Texans lost to Jacksonville by 3 on a field goal that didn't go in at the end. They need to win this one because they're tied with the Broncos, and they're the first two teams out of the last wild card spot, which is occupied by the Colts, who beat the Texans, and they play in Indy in the last game of the year. And I'll tell you something that is very interesting we talk about here. The last game between the Texans and the Colts in Indianapolis could be crucial for both teams, just as it was last year in the last game, crucial for both teams because the number one pick could have been at stake. And so for the totally opposite reasons. But that just shows, if you get the right assistant coach and you're an owner, you know, you can sit back and watch the results pour in. But that's why a guy like David Tepper, he'll get a coach. You know, he's going to pay millions and millions of dollars, and they'll line up to go there. But if you got options, I'm seriously considering another option.
Yeah, I think I would too. John, appreciate it as always. We will talk next week.
Always an honor to be on the Chasing Big Joe show. Yeah. Have a great rest of the week.
You too, John. Appreciate it. John McClain, Sports Radio 610 in Houston, joining us, and always good stuff. The Hall of Fame conversation is one I want to get into.
Yeah, also, if John lived here, I think he would block me in all facets of his life. Because, you know, I love the history of the NFL,
sure.
And I'd be talking to him nonstop. And the Too Tall Jones, yeah, let's get in the Hall of Fame thing, because the Too Tall Jones thing drives me crazy that he's not in the Hall of Fame.
Well, and I want to talk about Eddie, too, because I think you and I may differ on this.
We do.
A little
all
bit.
Right.
Also, tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as Vanderbilt women's basketball is on the court. The Commodores will be on the road against North Carolina State. Tip-off at 6:15, pregame at 6 o'clock. Coverage is also available on 94.9 The Fan and the 94.9TheFan.com.